Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, we started all shaking the Monday morning blues with our relationship conversation, the red flag to look for in the first 6 months of a relationship. And, oh, did we have a nice conversation with our due time crew? Well, one of the first things they tell you to look out for is when someone is deflecting responsibilities for choices. Yep, no matter how big or small that choice is, if they cannot assume responsibility and make a decision, I don't know if you want to be, you know, messing with them. I don't know. Okay. Ooh, I like this one. A grown person with no friends. What does that mean when you have a grown person with no friends? Well, it's a sign of something. So you need to be careful of that within the first 6 months of the relationship. Okay. What about poor conflict resolution skills? Oh, my goodness. They always blame the other person. Again, they don't take any accountability. They never apologize. Nothing. They can't figure out how to make things right. I got to tell you, that's a skill that the Lord has to really teach you, because I'm religious. Even for those who have not accepted Christ, that's a skill that the Lord has to teach you. Okay? Now, we would not have a full Monday morning if we did not get the switch tip with Shanti. And stop acting desperate. Well, look at what we just definitely talking about. You know, watching out for those red flags when within the first 6 months. And how many of us ignore them? Well, acting desperate. Stop acting desperate. You know, when God is blessing you to have red flags, the alarms and the diamonds and everything is going off right in front of you and you just ignore them, I don't know. That's a sign of desperation. And you don't want to be caught up in that. You don't want to continuously make decisions based on desperation. You can't. And, you know, when you do it's going to be nothing but trouble when the things that you do, you know, are pumped behind desperation, because you'll never make proper decisions. You're never going to be able to get on the best track, because you'll always be desperate and you'll be looking for ways to get around just based on your desperation. So, you know, we want to make sure we kind of stay out of that pocket, okay? Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day rolled around. And we talked again about this controversial Canarsie, Brooklyn pastor. Oh, Lamar Whitehead. Again, he's in the newspaper. I think he's kind of acting desperate. He wants to get some attention. And because the news loves this, and the world always loves to flag the church in its negative light, he always gives them the food. Stop acting desperate, Lamar Whitehead. Well, you know, they had him in the news this week because, you know, during his live stream yet again, the only person I know stays in front of, you know, controversy in front of the live stream, you know, he was shown putting his hand around the back of a woman's neck and kind of pushing her up the side of the church. Yes. You got your hands on somebody? Nah, we can't do that. Yeah, well, she was a heckler. And she was out of line, you know, parading in front of the pulpit while he was giving his sermon. However, you know, that is not the way of a pastor to put your hands on, you know, one of your congregants in that manner. But definitely a man who puts his hands on, you know, a woman has very, 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 very bad, a very bad look. And, you know, unfortunately, he's going to have to learn a lot of different things. You know, we all as pastors have to learn stuff. You know, we're not perfect. We go through our times. We do make mistakes. But the stuff that's going on with him, like I said, you know, he's acting desperate. He's acting desperate. And the due time crew is definitely picking up on that. Okay. Well, oh, let's talk about it. Tuesday was all done after that. Okay. Wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we were missing our girl Vivian from Socially Conscious Segment, and that left me to do that. Well, we talked about the asylum seeker, the migrant who came to the United States, subsequently to New York, and committed suicide. During her stay at one of the many homeless shelters. And, you know, it was sad to hear that something like that took place, but also to the fact that, you know, hey, there's more mentally ill people in the United States now. And we're going to have to get a handle on this thing here, because we have our own mentally ill individuals. And we can't afford to adopt anymore, okay? And don't forget about the two little heroes, the six-year-old twin girls, who took to the bat, the doll, the toy truck, anything they could to attack mom's attacker. Yes, mom had her living boyfriend attack her, and thusly, the little girl attacked him. Yes, so they're being flagged as little heroes out in Florida. And, you know, they ain't going to take no mess. Okay? All right. Well, the ladies were in the house, and we had a nice little conversation. And we talked about what? Friendship. How to to get a healthy friendship even after they hurt you. Now, this is live, up close, and impersonal. And, you know, we've all been hurt. We've all been hurt by people we trust. So, you know, we got some points that we discussed, and one of them was choose your friends wisely. You know, sometimes the hurt comes from the fact that we didn't choose wisely. Yeah, we chose the wrong person to begin with. So one of the ways we can prepare and move forward is to, you know, when you're surveying these people and you're vetting them as to whether they're going to be your friend or not, make sure you choose better, okay? Oh, I like this one. Be the friend you wish you had. Yes. You want to make sure that, you know, you're not expecting someone else to do something that you yourself are not doing. Yes. Okay. Believe the best until you are certain of the worst. Now, I think this is one of the biggest challenges because, you know, we're walking in hurt. So therefore, we're not trying. We're not trying to put ourselves back out there and become vulnerable and get stepped back, you know, stepped on again. So, you know, anybody trying to believe the best? You know, you're always going to go from the opposite end. You're going to believe the worst, and then people got to prove themselves to you. Well, that's not going to happen. Not in God's book. That's not going to be acceptable in God's book, okay? So we have to make sure that, you know, we're on point and we're doing it God's way, okay? All right. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around and we had a guest, Lady Nicole Burns, author. Hi, God. What are you saying to me? A daily childhood devotional. And I mean, we went over some of the themes. She had a 30-day theme. And listen, God told you yesterday, go buy the book. Yes, you know, we talked about quite a few things in this book, and one of them is cover them with kindness. That's day 18. Oh, doesn't that sound like something that you need to tell some adults? Yep. Well, cover them with kindness is then nurtured by the theme, the scripture, the affirmation, the journal prompt, and then ultimately the activity. So you have a full day with this theme. So imagine your child waking up and, you know, today's theme is cover them with kindness. You know, you don't know what these children are going to go through from day to day. But we've got to arm them with God's tools. And you can definitely tell just by reading this book that this is a book of God that Lady Nicole was inspired by the Lord to write this book. So we want to give a shout out to her, thanking her for coming on yesterday and just really, you know, giving us a nice little snapshot of how our children will be blessed by reading this book. And I'm going to take it a step further as a pastor, you know, in dealing with adults. They're not much different than the kids. They're not much different than the kiddies, let me tell you. So every time I look at a new theme in the book, I thought about the congregants. Not just in my church, I'm talking about in church, period. You know, I got friends and family in other churches, and man, the story that I hear. No joke. So we had a treat this week, and you know, I say, go to Amazon and buy the book. Hi, God, what are you saying to me? Okay, and you can also get the book at www.NicoleBurns.org. Okay? All right. Well, today is Freestyle Friday, and we get to do whatever we want to do. Well, we always talk to the men on Friday, so, you know, let's see what they got to say for themselves today. And we're going to get this party started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and let somebody know that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
We all have a role in keeping our food safe. Farmers should follow good agricultural practices to assure that the food they produce is the healthiest it can be. Markets and restaurants are required by law to follow safe food handling procedures when selling raw or cooked foods to their customers. And each one of us should always practice proper food handling, cooking, and storage at home. Make sure that you're doing your part to keep food safe for all of us. A message from the Hawaii Department of Agriculture.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Freestyle Friday. Oh, the day we take time to talk to and hear from our men, and what a week, what a week. You know, I just say to myself, we sure can do a whole lot of talking. We can sure do, I mean, in 2 hours, we cover so much. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes. But at the end of the day, no matter what happens, we can always say that we serve a wonderful God. You know, just sitting here thinking about the challenges of life and how we just go through different, you know, different parts of the journey of life, and how, you know, if you don't learn how to bounce back, man, you're going to be messed up. You're going to really be in a bad, bad place. You know, because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to stumble and fall. But you got to get back up. You got to get back up. You got to dust yourself off. And you've got to let God do his perfect work in you. And the problem is not in the fall. The problem's not in the fall. Because sometimes you're going to fall on your own. Sometimes you're going to fall by, you know, by virtue of other people's negligence or other people's doing. You know, sometimes God's going to put you in a situation. And at the end of the day, you have to know how to get up and bounce back. You know, and it's hard. It's really hard to get up and bounce back at times. But it's not impossible. With God, all things are possible. And, you know, you have to figure out how you're going to handle the challenge. Are you going to act recklessly? Are you going to take the time to think and then act? Because we can't do both. We can't, you know, not think and act recklessly. And we can't think and do it right. You know, but when we fall, know that you have a God that will pick you up. I don't care what the naysayers say. Care how much man may beat you up. Know that you got a God that will wipe the slate clean. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have to pay sometimes, that there won't be consequences, but there are going to be times when you'd fall, you got to get yourself up. You're going to have to eat those mistakes. But you're going to have to dust yourself off and then let God dust you off. And then you're going to have to pick up your head and you're going to have to move forward. Okay? So let's make sure we get this done properly. Because if not, you won't get anywhere in life. You won't get anywhere in life. Let God do his perfect work in you. You got to stand still for it, though. You can't be all over the place. You can't be moving around so much that God has got to stop you so that you can get yourself together. Okay? All right. So, what are we talking about today? Because we got some stories. So I'm looking here at a story of, so today, you know, and last night I was looking at some stories, and I just come across some male stories. And this is a listener-submitted story about our men. So you have this man who's charged with the death of his ex-wife and his stepson. Why? Because there's a dispute over the electric bill. Man. So you have this Michael Williams, 47, who was arrested Sunday evening and charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder in the death of his ex-wife and his stepson. So what happened is they still live in the house together. And yes, despite the fact that they are divorced, they still live in the house together after their divorce, and they have been married for 10 years. Okay? Well, he wasn't happy with the amount of the electric bill. And it kept going on and it kept going on to the point where he put a padlock. He shut the power off to the house. He locked the electrical panel and left to go somewhere. And when he came back, the wife and the stepson had cut the lock, restored the power, and placed a new lock on the panel. Now, Big Michael was upset and he was annoyed that they kept leaving the lights on in the house. And he went and put a lock on the box outside the house. So he's figuring, you know what, if I put a lock on here, I ain't gonna have to worry about it. And he left them in the dark. Now, I mean, let's talk about this thing for a minute. You left them in the dark. You cut off the lights. You cut off the power to the house. So not only did you leave them in the dark, but whatever else they needed, they couldn't have. Now, if we're talking about in Florida, most times in Florida, you need an air conditioner. So that means there was an air conditioner. Did she have to wash clothes? Well, that wasn't happening either. If they have an electric stove, she's not cooking either. I mean, just as we're talking right now, just survey your house and think about all the things that work based on electric. Well, when he shut the power off to the house and locked the electric panel and left, there was nothing they were able to do if it had anything to do with the power. Well, he came back again. He found that everything had been cut. The locks had been cut. The power was back on. They put a new lock on there. And all hell broke loose. Yep. So he got upset. The argument ensued. And then he ended up with the two of them not only being shot, but being killed. Now, here's my thought. My thought is, I always say, people generally don't shoot you, and you're like, wow. You know, and I don't mean you personally, but when you hear, you know, a person who's angry, you can see whether they're capable of, you know, going to that limit. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, you divorced this man after being married for 10 years, and you stayed in the house, you and your grown son, because he's 28 years old. Why live in a house with an angry person? Because I'm going to tell you something. That man was no mild-mannered man, and then all of a sudden he can bust out with a gun and shoot y'all and shoot to kill. Something was going on before, and you knew that he could get this mad. So you go mess with the man's locks? Nah, y'all shouldn't even been living there. Plain simple as that. Because you divorced for some reason. And if he was capable of shooting you, if he was capable of shooting to kill, then, you know, something had to be shown earlier. Something had to be shown earlier. I mean, come on. He didn't take a hammer and break your hands, or, you know, he didn't go and put a bigger lock on the panel or rip the whole thing out. You know, he didn't do that. He actually got angry enough to shoot and kill someone, his ex-wife and her son. So now, if he married her 10 years ago, that means that this son was 18. And if he's living with them now, he was living with them then. So at no point did this boy become like a son to you. And, you know, if, you know, you got angry enough, you know, to you know, get physical, that wouldn't stop you. The fact that you helped to raise this boy. Now, yes, so somebody says, well, he was 18. You didn't raise him. Well, he's still living at home. He's still raising people. Okay? So something was wrong with this equation to begin with. So now he's going to jail. Because not only did you shoot him, but you killed them. Okay? So he told them, he told the officers that prior to him killing them, he was attacked and punched in the face. And the chief of police said, nah. And that sheriff, he was like, nah. He don't look like he was no attack. Yeah, it literally says that in the article, that he wasn't believed. So he was held without bond, you know, as of the writing of this article. And you going to jail, my boy. You are going to jail, my friend. All right, what else are we talking about here? Well, father and son again. father and son again. Father, the son, and the mama again. Let's put it like that. But this is a little different. You got this 75-year-old man who is protecting his wife at the end of the day. And somehow or another, you know, things just always seem to go wrong, people. You know, didn't I say the other day somebody got to be the first one to stop talking? If somebody is the first to stop talking and walks off, these things don't get this bad. But you might want to think a little differently here. So they had this 75-year-old man who called 911, and he told them that his 24-year-old son was assaulting his wife, okay? And what ended up happening, he told the dispatcher that he shot his son. Yep. So here's what happened. They have this man who was sleeping. The 75-year-old man was asleep, and he heard the commotion going on between his wife and his son. And the son came home late after he had been drinking and got into the altercation with his mother, and the noise woke the father up. And when the 75-year-old man looked up, his son was assaulting his wife with a liquor bottle he had in his hand. Well, the son charged towards the father, who ended up shooting him and killing him. So they said that there was another person there at the residence who really vouched for this whole story. You know, so I don't know where this person was. Maybe this person was asleep as well, because it does say that the son came home late. So maybe everybody was sleeping, and these two ended up arguing. And by the time, you know, the witness woke up, you know, it doesn't say at what point the witness, you know, saw anything, but they do know that the witness said at least as much as the father told. They vouched for that story. So now, a son is gone again. But thank God nothing happened to the mother, because if the father's 75 years old, mom was in her 70s as well, and she was treated at the hospital and she went home. But they did not charge the father with anything. No. And I guess that verification of the story, you know, that the son was out of control and was going to assault the mom with the liquor bottle, was enough that somebody had to shoot him. Because if you think about these people in their 70s, you don't know how, you know, strong or weak they were or how healthy they were. And, you know, if this was a big son, maybe the father figured the only thing that could stop him was the warning of his gun. And he probably did warn him, because it says that the son lunged at him. So, oh, well, you ended up getting shot because you don't know when to sit down. So whatever was going on with you and your mother, you were out of control. You were drinking. Yes, they say you was drunk, and you had a liquor bottle up to your mother. So you already out of control. Your father warns you, tells you to stop, but instead of you stopping, you lunge at him, and now you don't have your life. I don't know. I don't know, people. I don't know. Well, I got my brother Al on with me. Before I go into my last story, because I want to kind of get everybody's opinion. And, you know, you all have been mighty quiet this week. You know, we had a comment one day this week, but for the most part, we haven't heard from you. So I would love to hear from you. And not on those two, because those two are pretty cut and dry. We know who was in the wrong on those two. But I have another story with a dilemma, possibly. Okay? So where's my brother Al? Let me talk to my brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. Chop, chop of the morning.
How are you, brother Al? Let me give you a chance to say it. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. The good Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, get up! And I got on up, and I'm doing well. Strutting well, talking well, looking well. Praise God.
Amen, brother Al. Amen. Well, brother Al, I know you walked in on our second story, but we had our first story of the morning where a Florida man is charged in the death of his ex-wife and his son. And see, I know you can appreciate this story. Now, I'm not saying you would have killed them, but I'm going to tell you the story. And I know that you and I have talked about this issue before, so I'm expecting you to kind of understand to a certain degree. So this man, 47, Michael Williams, is living in the home with his divorced wife. They were married for 10 years. They got a divorce, but maybe it's not easy for anybody to go out and live on their own. So not only is the wife staying there, but her son, so his stepson, who's 28, is there. Now, there's been some dispute over the electric bill, brother Al. Michael Williams says they just keep leaving this light bill, or this light on, and is running up the bill. And clearly, he must be paying the bill. So he ends up, he has to go out. So brother Al, he shuts the power off. He puts a padlock on the box, on the light box, and then he leaves. Well, when he comes back, they didn't pop the lock, brother Al. They didn't turn the light back off because he shut all the power off before he put a lock on the panel. So they didn't shut the light back on, and then they didn't put a new lock where his lock was. So they got into an argument when he got back, and unfortunately, he ended up shooting them and killing them. So at the end of the day, they were murdered over a high electric bill. What you say about that, brother Al?
Not over no electric bill, man. Come on. Over electric bill? Come on. Y'all couldn't figure out the situation. And so now you're going to have some free light, but you're going to pay for it with time and treasure. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And like I said, he had to be paying it because he put a lock on it. I guess he wanted the light off at a certain time and you know, they wouldn't do it, and they running up the bill. So he's like, oh, you know, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to put a lock on it. I'm going to stop this right now. So, you know, man, that's just ridiculous. Again, man, just no respect and love for human life over a light bill. Like, come on. And I guess when they came in and they put the lock on the light, he's like, oh, y'all want to play rough? Okay, I'll play with you. Then you take it. Insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, do we get to the point where we're going to really pull a gun out? You know, I would like to contend that there was probably more that was going on in the house. You know, you got a 30-year-old man living up in there with your wife, and, you know, now you paying the bill, but I'm looking at a grown man here. So listen, if I'm willing to pay the bills, then somebody, y'all should at least be, you know, working with me. You know what I'm saying? At least work with me and help to keep the bills low. So there was some other stuff going on in this house now.
Yeah, definitely. And that should have been established before the other person was living there. It should have been established, okay, this is how this was going to work. You know, I see that even with some couples. Everybody's so quick to move in with each other, but they don't have everything established, and then it becomes just war. It becomes a battlefield. No, all those things, when you're living with somebody, you're moving in with somebody, all that stuff should be established before you make that decision.
Well, don't forget, Brother Al, that this is a divorced couple. They were they've been married for 10 years. They were married for 10 years. They're now divorced, and that's why I was saying he probably was really upset because clearly somebody couldn't afford to live by themselves. So they got a divorce. She probably couldn't afford to live on her own. So he willingly let them live there. And he was like, okay, well, here are the rules. And they weren't abiding by the rules. Now, you know you're not abiding by the rules when you cut the lock off, turn the lights on. And, you know, I was saying earlier before when I mentioned the story, I said, think about all the things that run by electric power in your house. And when he shut the power off and locked the panel, the electric panel, Brother Al, that means that nothing worked. Nothing worked.
Right. That food going bad. The refrigerator off.
That's right. That's right. Everything. Ain't nothing running. So I guess they figure, you know, I can hear mama now. Go ahead and pop that lock. Yeah. You know, here, go buy another one. Or he may have had some other lock stashed in the garage or something like that. And they had not anticipated that it was going to go off like that. And again, you know, with the life being gone, Brother Al, ain't no lesson learned.
Right, right. You know, so, you know, with him doing that, he didn't think as well. You know, he just was, I know how to get at them. I'm gonna put this lock on, and ain't nobody going to use them. He didn't think about that. Okay, obviously, you live in there, so you're eating food there. So you didn't think the refrigerator, you thought the refrigerator run on batteries. So you figure I'm just going to cut it off, and everything going to be well. So he didn't think it through either.
No, you could tell. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I brought up. Think about all the things that don't work when your electric is off. Now, they live in Florida, so that also meant that there was no air conditioner in the house because that surely runs by power, electrical power. So you're not thinking about this because you're angry. And we, you know, again, somebody's got to be the first one to have a head thinking. And he didn't have a good, you know, he didn't have no good head on his shoulder.
Yeah, and like you said, I know that he was in Florida, and anybody been to Florida know that heat comes down on you. So now you didn't turn the doggone power off. So we got no AC, we got no TV, we got no oven, we got no refrigerator, and all he just saw was anger. And you know, people have to learn to control your anger, man, because you know I'm quite sure he's sitting in prison now, like, oh shoot, now they gonna tell you when the lights go on and off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know what it's time. Yeah, you can't go to the refrigerator when you get ready. And, you know, you no longer got a name. You got a number. You know what I'm saying? So your crazy self ain't remember all that stuff.
No. And like you said, now instead of you controlling the lights, you're going to have the light control. You know, it has to be a point where somebody just says enough. And my thing is, put them out. These are two grown people. She was 48, and the son was 28. Put them out. You know, and I'm going to tell you one thing. You know, if he didn't want to put them out, you know, because he didn't want to see them on hard times, well, they would have done better on hard times than dead. At your hands, Brother Al.
Exactly, and they got a place to stay now. You know what I'm saying? I hate to say it that way. You know, I hate to say it that way, but you didn't give them a permanent resident, and depending on where they life, where they are with Christ, they're going to have another resident that's not nice. So,
yes.
You come on, and you going there too. So you still going to meet up with
them. I tell you, Brother Al, a whole lot to think about after the fact, a whole lot to think about after the fact. Well, we have the 75-year-old man who's watching his son about to do some damage on his wife, and this is their son, with this liquor bottle. So the son comes home late. Again, the son comes home. These people are grown and doing these things. We're not even talking about kids. These grown people still living at home out of control. He comes home late, drunk. Everybody's asleep. Somehow or another, you know, mom and get, you know, him and mama into it. The father wakes up. There's another person in the house. Also, and dad gets up, warns him clearly, and the son charged at the father, and he shot him. Dad shot son. So now another son is dead, Brother Al.
You know, again, and you know, and I deal with that here at you know, with dealing with my kids. You know, these parents these days are different. We blame the kids, but it's a lot of the parents. You know, start letting him leave the nest. You know, I know somebody right now, Pastor Chuck, her son is 55, living in her basement, don't help her pay nothing, don't help her do nothing. And she just allow it. So we have to let these kids go, you know what, go on out and experience. And if you fall, I'm there to help you because you're trying. But, again, this wasn't the first time he came home drunk. So,
no,
you know, this is
no.
not the first time he did. This is not the first time he did that. Now, see, where the father went wrong at is that you warned him. Because you came up in my house and jumped up in my wife's class, your mother's face, I'm not even warning you. I'm just going to go straight and attack you. Because I'm quite sure this is not the first warning that you gave.
No.
You know, so I'm coming at you from the beginning. Oh, you trying to lick a bottle of my wife? Give me a second. I'll be right back. Wait right there. All you heard was wait right there. And when I came back, it was all hell with a broke loose. Because that's just insane.
Yeah, and this is why I flagged that as well. You know, we're talking about these grown kids in the house. And, you know, it's one thing to need to stay home or need to return home and you're humble. But there's no humility here. You know, I know you don't, you know, you don't go with the shooting and the killing. But again, everybody's tolerance level is different. So we don't know how long they've been tolerating this stuff. And like I said, yeah, the first man with the stepson who was 28 years old. You're in my house. I'm paying the bills. And again, this had to be an ongoing issue because they just wouldn't turn the lights off. And, you know, again, you know, this stuff here, this could be avoided. Both of these situations, Brother Al, could be avoided. Now, for the mom that you said got the 55-year-old son up in there, and he living in the house, and he ain't ill? Oh, no. Again, that's mom's fault. That's mom's fault.
Exactly. And you know what's so crazy, Pastor Steph? Not only do he live there, then he brought his trifling girlfriend over there, and she stayed there. They both talk horrible to the mom. And, you know, it's sad because I used to date the young lady, and that's her brother and her mother, and he's so disrespectful to her. I can't even stay. I couldn't stay over there. I had to go because I was like, you know, I can't take it. One of the things I get on these kids about, if I see you disrespectful to your mom, I go in on you. And, you know, and he's so disrespectful. Then you bring your girlfriend over, and she's disrespectful to the mom. And the mom, I told her, Mom, why don't you put him out? Well, you know, he really ain't got nowhere to go, and, you know, he can't afford to go nowhere. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head like, okay.
Oh, wow.
He steals her money.
He takes
her card and takes her money, you know, because she gets her little pension thing. He got her card and pen. He go in there, wipes her account out, and I'm just sitting there like, wow.
What? You know, Brother Al, you deserve this at this point. this man is at senior citizenhood, and your mothers and their sons. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Let me tell you something.
Hey, Pastor, you know he's able to get his AARP card, and he's still standing
there. Yeah. Yes. And let me tell you something, Brother Al. This stuff ain't just started. This is stuff that's been going on all his life. And I guarantee you one thing. If it was her daughter, she would never be able to get away with it. She would never be able to get away with it. It's something about, you know, the expectation of girls from their mothers, and the boys are allowed to be rotten. And I don't get it. What do you think it is, Brother Al? What do you think it is? What's going on with the mothers and the sons?
Man, I don't know. They're so protective. And believe me, I get at my parents all the time because most of my boys that's in my mentoring group don't have their fathers. And oh my God, you got to see it, Pastor. It drives me nuts. I have to talk to my parents, you know, and we got that relationship where I can actually get on them like, come on, you're killing me. I'm trying to teach them to be a man, and you're not doing it. Like I said, I got one lady, she come home late every night. She get home about 8, 9 o'clock from her job. It's just her and her son. She got to come home, wash the dishes that he put in the sink, take out the garbage that he left there. And this boy, 15 years old, I'm like, why can't he take out the garbage? I don't understand. Well, you know, he said he wanted the cats. He cleaned the cat box. Why can't he clean the cat box? Oh, well, he don't like cleaning the cat box.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he don't like cleaning the cat box. So I sit there and I said, listen, I told all my parents, this is what we can do. Y'all can give them chores to, because I'm trying to teach them responsibility. If you can't get them chores when they come to this school, I'm going to get them chores. I have them cleaning outside, type of stuff, doing all type of stuff. I got one woman, her son, 15 years old, is sleeping in the bed with her. I'm like, are you serious?
No, he gets up in the middle of the night.
He gets up in the middle of the night, and he just come and get in my bed. And I'm sitting there looking at now, you know, like, now I'm very transparent with my parents. And you know, and I asked, I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, I'm not trying to. They said, no, I know you, coach. I said, when you go to bed, what is your sleep attire when you go to bed? She sit there and tell me she sleeps in her panties and no bra. And your 15-year-old son is in the bed? Are you serious? Are you serious? Oh, but I be covered up. I said, y'all killing me. I said, you're killing me. I said, you're killing me.
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't believe the story. And I'm going to tell you this one right here. And this may be something we could talk about in the future, but I heard it, and it drove me nuts. Had one guy, you know, he's out the house now, but he's still a mama's boy. He's out the house. His mom's loving to death, you know, and the dude is married. So her son is married. And, you know, of course, she's on the business because he's a mama's boy. So him and his wife had a baby. They tried to have another baby. They was having an issue that they couldn't have. The wife couldn't get pregnant. Do you know the mom became a surrogate mother? And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. The mother became a surrogate mother to carry the child. But isn't that your son? And I'm sitting there like,
oh,
I got to get the full story and send it. I got to get the full story and send it to you, Pastor. I mean, I'm sitting there, and they think that's all right. I'm like, bro, ain't them genes real close?
Wow. But I've heard there's been news stories like that, Brother Al, where mom has stepped in for the daughter and had the baby. Yeah. I've heard that before. This is very strange. It's too much. Where we drawing the line, Brother Al? Let's see what Pastor KL has to say about all of this, because I'm just curious. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am great, thank you. How are you?
All right, I'm just trying to understand the story of the 15-year-old breastfeeding. That's what it sounds to me. You know, I'm trying to understand the mama in the bed with panties and no bra, but the child is breastfeeding. You know, you got milk? Okay, here we go. That's all it could be. Listen,
oh,
a 15-year-old don't even want to be around their mama when
right,
they're naked.
Right.
We can't even fathom. We don't even want to see that visual of your mama being naked. There has to be a motivational factor that I keep going back to the dead.
Oh, there has to be something. I'm gonna be honest with you. Hold that thought. Now, when you were telling the story, Brother Al, I have to be honest. I didn't think about the breast. But I have to admit, I said to myself, something else going on in this bedroom. Now, I'm gonna be honest. I really don't think that if the authorities heard this, they would be putting their thumbs up for this either. I think they would be launching an investigation. Now you can continue, Pastor JL, because I didn't want to forget that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna listen. I think people heard the story that I found out I had a daughter when she was 12 years old. And her mother got put to jail, and they told me I needed to come to the precinct to get my daughter. Now, again, this is when I found that I had a daughter. So, of course, I did the right thing, and I brought my daughter home, but because my daughter had separation anxiety, my daughter, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, would come to my bed. And at 3:01, I put her back in her bed. So we're not going to do that. We'll get you a teddy bear. We'll get you whatever you need. We'll leave the TV and the light on. But we're not sharing no bed. You're 12 years old.
Right.
No, we're not doing that.
Right. And like I said, there's no way in the world I would believe that the authorities would not be raising an outcry at this either. Just for the fact. No, we can't do that. Like you said, we can't do that. You know, what's the overtone here? Is the mom having separation anxiety or you having separation anxiety? It may not be the son. So I don't know.
Let me ask a female question because, you know, I'm a man. But after a certain age, a certain time after having a child, Doesn't the milk dry up? Do you have milk all the time?
No. Of course the milk dries up. It does. It dries up.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah, well, something ain't healthy.
That's not a good look.
Because here's, Pastor Dale, and here's why I say so. I agree something's not healthy. So let's say for argument's sake, this boy keeps coming in your bed, and initially you slept in your underwear and no bra. If you would allow him to sleep in the bed, you would get dressed. You'd try some flannel pajamas, you know what I'm saying? Some armor you'd have to put on or something like that. You know, because I'm going to tell you something. I can't imagine allowing no son to sleep with me. But if you're going to allow the son to sleep with you, at least put on some clothes. What is it that you don't put, and when you're asked, okay, well, what do you wear? You say, I cover up. Who covers up?
My t-shirt and my panties on. No. Now, you know, listen, and I'm trying to be understanding to this whole thing. Now, if you have a sibling who died or your daddy who died, and that one night you need to be comforted, you know what I'm saying, by your mama's presence, because this is all I got. But I'm not coming in your bed every night. And then for me, I might sleep on the floor at the foot of your bed just because I want to be in the presence of my mother.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But we got to get in the bed.
Right. Pillow to pillow, like you my man.
Right. we.
No.
And then what happens in my dream as a 15-year-old, if I'm dreaming about something, and I end up touching something,
started from my mama.
Oh, no. This is why she has to.
Or you make that wrong turnover. You make that wrong turnover. It's situation.
Right. You know, that's why you don't need to be in the bed because of all of these possibilities. You know, so get up out the bed, put him in his bed, get him some therapy if that's what he needs. If you keep telling him, hey, you know what, you can't sleep with me, then he needs therapy. And maybe you need some too. Because there's something
right.
She
needs some therapy.
That's what I'm saying. I agree. Y'all need some as a mother and son, and you need some individually. Because something ain't right here. Something ain't right. Well, thank you for the stimulating story, Brother Al. And wait. We can't go past the real life story, Pastor KL, where mom has the 55-year-old son living in the house. He didn't brought the girlfriend. He didn't swipe mom's card of her pension deposit. No, what is that going on?
Mom must be in a wheelchair or something. I mean, because he'd have been put out. First of all, you know, I always say, can't no rooms be closed in my house. So now your old rusty behind is here, and you bring your disrespectful girlfriend, y'all both have to go. First of all, I keep on telling the story, at 18 and a half, you got to get out of my house, let alone at 55. At 55, mm-hmm. I should be wearing my panties and no shirt on to my house. To my house. I got to worry about you and your girlfriend? No.
Yep. And many, and probably a whole lot of other stuff. You, your girlfriend.
Right.
Y'all probably over there chilling at times, smoking weed. Y'all all might be drinking. Or you eating up my food. Right. Eating up mm-hmm. my food. You got your name on the orange juice.
Pass it off. All the hog maw. All the chips.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, it just ain't that you got your girlfriend. Because if Brother Al says he's swiping a card that belongs to her, you're doing a whole lot of other stuff over there, too. It doesn't just end there. So it's like, you know what? We got to have a better sense of parenting, because this stuff that's being allowed here, who can you blame at the end of the day? Who can you blame?
Right,
because
right,
you've got
right.
to put your foot down. You've got to put your foot down.
And, you know, I'm sorry, Pastor Stephen, it's so much. He even, like I said, he brought the girlfriend over. The girlfriend started to be disrespectful. The girlfriend went as far as opening an Amazon account in the mother name and just be ordering stuff. You know, and I had to stop the daughter because the daughter ready to beat her down. She ordered stuff. But one of the things that I tell my parents and people who do these things, you are messing up a man that could be a good man for the next woman. So if you're spoiling him and you're doing that, how do you think he's going to treat a woman that he meets? And then men get mad when women take the lead. This is why, because the mothers are messing these boys up. You're taking away that manhood. So how he going to be any good to the next woman? That man sitting there, 55 years old, he don't pay no rent. He steal from his mother. He do this and that. And now he got a girlfriend. What good you think he to her? Now he's teaching her, hey, this is how you steal from my mom. So I keep telling her, we're destroying our men race, women. Please let them be men. Let them grow up to be men.
No, that
let me say this. When you, as a parent, especially a mother, when you keep on creating these man babies, because that's what they are. They're babies that just grow up age-wise. But they're man babies, meaning that after you keep on producing these man babies, and they found somebody, or they found a woman that they attract to or they really like, they become a maybe. The man baby become a maybe. Maybe I'll get it right. Maybe I won't.
because I never had to do it for myself. You know, these folks now, they don't have to learn how to wash no clothes. They don't have to learn how to cook. They don't know how to clean. They won't go get a job. So this man baby, as he grows up age-wise, thinks he's ready to go out and explore the world, and he becomes a maybe. And the woman is like, well, what happened to you? I thought you was going to do this. I thought, again, it's a representative. We speak well. We know what to say, but we don't know what to do. A lot of times people interview well to get the job, but when they get the job, they're horrible because we created babies.
Yep. It's very true. It's very true. You know, you know, Brother Al asked, you know, what kind of woman are you going, the one he got,
right.
The one that don't want to do nothing either, the one that wants to get a man who lives just like this, who don't want to do a thing, who is opening up an account in mama's name, doing all kinds of things. This is the kind of women that are out there that they're going to find. He knows he can't go nowhere and get no real, real woman. That's not going to work. That's not going to work, and it ain't going to happen. So he settles with the one that doesn't mind and who will move in with him and treat mama exactly the way he treats mama. So, you know, it's amazing how, again, you know, these mothers and sons, I don't get it. I'm like, what is it? And like I told you, I would lay my life to say if it was the girl, oh, no. I watched a mother. Boy, them boys didn't have to do a thing. Nothing. And she was raking the daughter over the coals. She don't do this and she don't do that and she don't do that and she don't do this. And she's no good for this, and she's no good for that. I said, well, what about the other two? They don't do anything either. And they're just as grown. And I don't hear the first expectation of them. So I don't know. Some about mothers and their sons. All right, gentlemen. I have a situation. And I want to know what you think about it. So, there's a couple. They've been married for a little bit. And she says that he's been struggling with money. And he had borrowed from a number of people, including her brother, about $4,000 from the brother alone, and it was about a week earlier. He comes to her, the wife, and he asks the wife, can I give him $14,000? And then she asked him, what was it for? And he said, well, I need money for the kids. And she was like, well, why would you need $14,000 for the kids? The kids don't need that much money. So then he asked her to borrow the $14,000. And she said he just seemed a little too desperate for her. So she said to him, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you borrow it if you sign this contract to pay it back. So he got all twisted. You know, you don't trust me. You don't take me at my word. And she told him, listen, I don't care how much ranting and raving you do, but I'm not going to lend you this money unless you sign this contract. So now he's not speaking to her. He's not speaking to her. Now, Brother Al, do you think she should have required him to pay, sign his contract and pay this money back? She should have given him the money or something else. What do you say?
Well,
First of all, I would have never mentioned the money, being that you ain't got no job. How are you going to pay me back? You know, it sounds like he don't have a job because he's going all out and being desperate of acting for all of this money. So a red flag would have went up for me from the beginning. So he wouldn't have got jacked. They're like, hey, I ain't got it, bro. Thank you, but I ain't got it. So I think he shouldn't even, don't even go through the contract thing. If he desperate like that, something else is going on. So we ain't even trying to go through the contract. You just ain't getting it. I ain't got it.
Okay, okay. Well, let's hear from our listeners, 347-285-7777. What do you think? Would you lend him the money, providing he signs the contract? Would you do like Brother Al said, I don't care, contract or not, you ain't getting this. What do you say? Now, before Pastor KL, before you give your answer, he had been previously married twice with six kids. He had six kids. Before she got married to him, he had six kids. And they have separate finances. And she says he isn't very good with money. Now, what do you say, Pastor KL? Do you lend him the money with the contract? Do you lend him the money without the contract? What do you do? Or do you do like Brother Al said, I don't care about no contract. You ain't getting the money.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, okay, we have separate accounts for a reason. I can't afford to put our accounts together because you ain't good with money. And I see that you ain't living with money. Why would I be crazy enough, contract or no contract, to give you money? Listen, when my wife comes home and says, babe, I need $20 so I can go put some gas in the car, I'll pay you back Friday. I know there might be a Friday she'll pay me back, but I don't know if I'm going to live to see the Friday. You know, so I already understand how the game goes. So now I say, babe, no, just give me your car. I'm going to put the gas in it myself because I want to make sure the $20 gets in the tank. So we ain't going to have no contract. Well, no, that's just where I'm at. I wouldn't give him no money.
All right. All right. All right. And I have to agree with you. I have to agree with both of you. My thing is, why would I give you money? Because either way, we're going to be out this $14,000. Because just because you signed the contract doesn't mean you're going to pay it back. And the only way this contract even becomes valuable to me is if we go to court. And I have to show the contract. So I have to go through all of this to get $14,000 back. Here's what's interesting to me. She didn't even ask. Well, she did ask, but she didn't even, if you didn't believe that he needed it for a good reason, I wouldn't loan it to you either. I would not loan it to you either. He's already proven that he ain't doing nothing good with the money. So I don't know.
Right.
You know, we've got to think about this kind of stuff. Because, you know, if this is our finances and you already come to the table, you know, with a hardship. And that's what I want to talk about. You know, we just got finished talking about these kids, these grown kids, and what kind of woman ends up with these what do you call them, Pastor KL? Man babies. Now, here, Brother Al, I want to ask you. She starts off by saying he was married twice previously, and he had six kids for finances, and he isn't very good with money. Now, if we stayed friends long enough in the dating process, I would have already seen you had six kids from two marriages and that you're not good with money. Is this even marriage material, Brother Al?
Not at all. I mean, he can't even, you know, he don't know what to do with his finance. He got six kids to take care of, bro. And you out there just wasting money on whatever it is that you're doing. Now, if you came to me and the kids need something, I'll go get it for the kids. But I ain't going to trust you with the money. So that's not marriage material at all. That's why they divorced them.
What'd you say? Brother Al, what was the last thing you said?
That's why he's divorced. Twice.
Yep. And that's what I wanted to point out. Pastor KL, is this marriage material and why not? But Al just gave, his point of view. Why isn't this marriage material, ladies?
First of all, okay, so you have 6 children. You've been married twice. Now, in your dating, haven't you noticed that you've been picking up the tab on dinner? You've been taking him out. You've been going to pick him up because he ain't got no gas in the car. You know, all this stuff is fine. You know, as they say, signs and wonders. I wonder why you didn't see the signs. Because this is really, really crazy. You got 6 children. I think that you need this money because the cost is coming after you for these 6 children. You know, they putting people in jail now for child support. You know, and all of this stuff you should have saw. You know, you 2 different marriages. So were both the women at fault and not him? They just didn't understand him. He's really a great man. I mean, come on now. You have to be able to see the signs. No matter how many good, sweet nothings that's in your air, after a while, that should fade away. And you should be able to see reality. You know, when I wake up in the morning and all the stuff is in my eye, I got to rub and wash my face so I can see reality. When are you going to see reality? Now you're stuck in this situation. He's about to have his 3rd divorce, you know what I mean, with 6 children. Don't even know if you guys have children together. That's, you're just adding to the problem. And now he becomes your problem because the other two wives are laughing at you. Because
yep.
You all, you thought you had a prize. If it was
yep.
a prize, they wouldn't have given it up.
Yep. Yep. That's the first thing I said. He's been married twice already. You thought you were going to be the change agent? You thought he was going to be different
right.
with you? First of all, you've been married twice. That shows me that there's an issue with you. You may not have been the primary
right.
issue, but there's an issue with you. Number 2, now you got 6 kids. I'm not marrying nobody with 6 kids. I'm sorry. I don't love you that much. You and I ain't never going to get that close. I'm going to fall in love with you and marry you with 6 kids. They couldn't have no kids together because where would your kids fall in line? Where?
Right,
he ain't going to have
no time
to spend with little Johnny because he got to spend time with the other 6. It's only 24 hours in a day. It's only 7 days in a week.
Mm.
And if he got a job, he ain't got time to spend with all 6 kids because we don't know how these kids are broken up. 1 and 5, 2 and 4, 3 and 2. We don't know nothing. We know nothing, but we do know that you got 6 kids. And I'm sorry. I was sitting here as you 2 men were talking, and I said, would I have married a man at 20 who had 6 kids? Would I have married a man at 30 who had 6 kids? Would I have married a man at 35 who had 6 kids? No! The answer is a resounding no. I'm not marrying nobody with 6 kids and 2 extra. Wives, oh my gosh, if that's not a recipe for disaster. Oh my gosh. Brother Al, describe to me a life with 2 ex-wives and 6 kids.
That's a life of being broke. You know, them kids got to be taken care of. So you're looking at these kids financially need, emotionally need, you know, because some people think, oh, I could just pay money and I'm good. You know, them kids need you to spend time with them. So where's the time he's going to spend with you? Where's the money? Now, especially their child support, that's split up 6 ways. So he got to have at least 4 jobs. So he ain't going to be able to spend time with you. You know what I'm saying? And he ain't going to be able to contribute to the household like he's supposed to because he got to take care of his children. So that is a disaster.
Oh, Pastor KL, what is life wife like with 2 ex-wives and 6 kids?
Yeah, that's that's the action that's ready to happen. I mean, first of all, for the mindset, and again, unfortunately, you know, men, we're not that bright. You know, we don't mature as well or as fast as women. So all we see is the man is taking all my money. So the response to the man taking my money, I'm going to get the man back. I'm not going to work. I'm going to show him. I ain't going to work. So now we have to figure out other things to do so that the man won't trap us. So now we selling drugs. We selling pills. We doing all type of stuff so the man can't catch us on paper. But it's okay for the man to catch us in the street. So that's a disaster. So you have a husband who can't bring you home no check, but because he brings you some money, you know, and this is where the stupid third wife is, because all she saw was the money, didn't realize how he was getting it, but he was blowing it. He wasn't even doing nothing well with it. You know, here these drug dealers make all this money, but they don't save for a rainy day. All in the theory of the man can't catch me on paper. I ain't paying for them kids.
Which is the stupidest mentality. You know, you mentioned, Pastor KL, that they're locking men up. They're not only incarcerating men, they are seizing and freezing your driver's license. I have
They do that first?
Yes, right, before they put you in jail, that's the final step. I have a man that his passport, he couldn't, where he was, and this was a grown man. We ain't talking about somebody 30. We talking somebody close to 50 years old. Was not from here, and he could not travel back to his home because they had frozen his passport. So you can't drive, which means that you're limiting my job options. You can't go nowhere because they're limiting your travel options. Yo, I'm marrying
I just wanted to tell you about that driver's license because, listen, in my former life, you know, I got my license. It's not really called suspended, but you have to prove that you work and what time you work. And you can only drive at that certain time. After that, your license, if you get caught driving, you know, then your license will be revoked. But at first, they give you opportunity because I guess the court is saying, well, if he can't work, he's definitely not going to pay child support.
Right.
If you can prove that you work and prove the hours that you work, they will lift that suspension for that time. And then after that, you in trouble. So now my thing is that if you get caught in traffic and it's beyond your time.
Right.
You
can say,
I've been coming home for work. But now you lose your license altogether.
Well, the person that I'm talking about, he couldn't use his license and didn't know that until he was in a traffic stop. And they said, your license has been suspended, revoked, something. And he was like, no, it hasn't. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, it has been. And they said, well, you need to go to court. And when he went to court, that's when he found out that his license was suspended for child support. So you even got a nice, you know, thing here where they're saying, okay, if you work, because, like, I agree, you suspend your license. Now that cuts your finances down. That your earning potential is down. You know, so I definitely agree with you. You messed up. But, yeah, it gets that bad. And I'm going to marry a man. I'm going to marry a man who has, listen, when you come to me for $14,000 and when I ask you what for, you said the kids need it. Yeah, that's what it is. No, the kids don't need it. The wives need it for the kids. That's what's happened. And you wait for some obligation for child support. So I don't know. I don't know what you're doing at this point. And it was a question I wanted to ask you men. Oh, man. I lost my thought. I wanted to ask you something because it's really – okay, Brother Al, you're always talking about, you know, how men, you know, can sway women. What in the world do you say to a woman when you have two ex-wives, six children, what do you say to her to get you to marry her?
Baby, they set me up. You know, I try to do the right thing. They don't like me. You know I'm a good man. You see how I treat you. And, you know, they just jealous because I moved on. And you know I love my kids. So I'm saying, you know, you're the only one by my side. You know, so I want to go further with you. I care about you. I want to go further with you. These are things that they would say. And a weak woman or a desperate woman would be like, well, he do treat me like, you know what, matter of fact, they are jealous.
Lord have mercy. That tail. I got a headache already. Pastor Kale, what do you say to a woman who knows you have two ex-wives and six kids and you want her to marry you? What do you say? Now, Brother Al, I know I'm already mad. What do you say, Pastor Kale?
Well, this is what I say. You know, first of all, I got my little smooth voice. You know, hey, baby, you know, like, you know it's all about you. I got 16 and 17 and 18-year-olds. I don't even know if they mind. I'm still waiting on the DNA test. If you say they mind, they don't even look like me. They look like the mailman. They look like the garbage man. They could be your brother's kids. Come on, baby. They're just hating on me. They know I'm a singer. They know I'm about to get money. And they just want to keep me in their life. You know what I mean? They looking for the come up. But I had to move on. And, you know, God told me that you were the one. Now, we're going to argue with God or we're going to argue with the women?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Give me some. Y'all got to give me some feedback on this. Are you going to leave me out here to listen to this stuff? And I have to digest this on my own? Are you serious? Do you? Okay.
Wait. Check it out. Okay, yeah, I got the sixth kid, baby. I'm just saying. Me and you, we could take my sixth kid, man, and move in this big house and just be one big happy family. You know, forget them. Let them be jealous.
Hey, Al, let's go this way, Al. You know I got a sixth kid, baby. But the reason why I got to be with you is because I need one more child. Seven is the number of completion. Come on, you complete me, baby.
Oh, my God.
But what about the money? I don't worry about it. You know God is able. Okay?
He's a provider. He's a provider. Wait. Well, listen. But, baby, look like you're selling drugs. Listen, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the just, baby. And I'm just getting out of money.
You want this house or not?
Right.
Oh my God. Really. Do you really, have you ever, Pastor KL, have you ever used the line about the, oh my gosh, wait, what was the one you said the first time? That's, oh my gosh, my head is swimming over here. What was the first one you used about, who are you going to argue with? God or them? Wait. Have you
who know
ever?
Better, God or them? Listen. Wait. Okay, come on now. Now you know. I know you know God, baby. I know you're a spiritual woman. Don't you feel in your spirit right now that we need to be together? Would God bring me in your life if I wasn't the one? Come on now. Who's going to argue? Listen. Can wait. Can we just stop and pray right now? Can we pray together right now? I feel like we need to pray.
Oh my God.
Hey, Pastor Kev. Matter of fact, you need prayer, baby. I want to hear you pray.
Oh my God. Are y'all serious? Okay, wait. I still haven't gotten an answer to this question. Pastor Kale, have you really ever used the line, even in your formal life, who we all argue with, God or them?
I don't think I've used that line because I don't think that my mind went there. I wasn't well versed then. So that's not what I would use. But I've used some lines, baby. I've used some lines. And then, you know, listen, it's all, even what I say about preaching, it's all in the delivery. It's all in the preaching. This voice right here just stuns. I'm like the deer in headlights voice. When you see my lights or when you hear my voice, you just stop. And, you know, that does sound good. You're right, baby. You right. They just jealous of you, baby. You right. Yeah, baby. You know, it's all about you. You know, they mad because all I do is talk about you. Listen, every day when I wake up, I say Stephanie wasn't like that. Or I say, you know, this is what I need to do for Stephanie. And they get mad because they keep hearing Stephanie's name and they don't hear their name no more. But it's all about you. They just hate us, baby. Let's move on.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. And women buy this stuff. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Ladies.
I can bottle this stuff up.
You know, put it on the shelf. Ladies, are you listening to this? You know, these are the lines that men are throwing out here. You know, I'm just, wow, y'all. Wow. You know. Brother Al has been after me for a while to have this segment, you know, when we're schooling ladies on the lines that men use. And if this is a taste of what men are saying, because I'm really trying to, in all honesty, that's what I say, even when you were all talking, I went back into my former life. I went back into my earlier years. And I said, okay, Stephanie, you surely wasn't at the same place you were when you were 20 than when you were 30, you know, and when you were 40 and when you were 50, so forth and so on. At what point would you have ever said, okay, I'll marry a man with 2 ex-wives and 6 kids? And never. And to hear that y'all can throw these lines down, because I'm like, what do you say? What do you say to a woman to get her to go, oh, you know, yes, I'll marry you, yes, and you feel like you didn't hit the jackpot? I'm like, yo, what do you do? Because at the end of the day, what does a man really have when he already has 2 ex-wives and 6 kids, Brother Al? What is he bringing to the table?
He's bringing 6 kids and 2 ex-wives.
That's all he's bringing to you. That's what he's bringing to you.
That is what he brings. But you know, Pastor Stephanie, like a woman like you, who's a strong, God-fearing woman and stuff, you know, they can't do that to you. But these women who are desperate, oh, I got to get married before I get this age. I got to do this before I get this age. Oh, I'm getting too old. Oh, I need somebody. Oh, a half a man is better than no man. These are the women, like you said, you know, and me, you talked about that, the things that me and Pastor Kel used to do. I had one line that I used to run all the time, and it never not worked. I would see a female, she looking good, and I catch her eye first, and I catch her looking at me a couple of times. I would walk up to this woman. I would say, hello, how you doing? My name is Al. What's your name? She'll tell me her name. I would give her my number and say, listen, here's my number. I'm already showing that I'm interested in you. If you're interested in me, give me a call, and I'll walk away. And Pastor Steph, I tell you that live book every single time they would call me. Every single time. Because they were just flat and like, wow, he's just straightforward.
That's corny. That's corny. That is so
you gotta remember,
corny.
This is, but you got to remember, this was back in the 80s, 90s. You know what I'm saying? And they went for it. I thought it was just a basic line. I didn't do nothing crazy. Hey, listen, that, you know, I think you're very pretty, and I'm interested in getting to know you. And here's my number. If you're interested in me, give me a call. I already showed you I'm interested by coming up to you and getting my number. And I walk away. And they call me every single time.
Wow.
Every single time.
Now, y'all want to hear the corniest line that works all the time? The corniest line that works all the time. Hey, baby, how you doing? You got a boyfriend?
Yes.
You want a man?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
All the time.
I've heard that. No one said it to me, but I have heard that, and I never knew whether it worked or not. You know, I've heard that.
Oh, it worked, baby.
I've heard that on TV or in a movie. I've never, ever heard that personally, but that worked.
It worked. It worked. It works. Oh, my God, it works. It works. And then again, it's a delivery. Because you know, I think we spoke a couple of weeks ago about Billy D. Williams. You know, to me, he don't look all that good, but his voice is delivery. And what does it? Listen, Barry White was this big old fat hamburger eating brother. You know what I mean? But when he said, sure, you're right, it was all over. You know what I mean? It's the delivery. It's the voice. Not only that, to go to the other point Al said, Pastor Steph, somebody like you, we wouldn't bother you because too much work. You know, I think it's to conquer if only for one night. We ain't got to.
Yeah.
We don't have time to chisel you away. Now, could we do it? Yeah, we can do it. Yeah, but it would take too long. You know, it would take too long. You too much of
too
a
long.
Science project. Ain't nobody got time for no science projects. We just want to go and do what we got to do and move on. You know, that's it. But, yeah, I mean, we will see the woman or watch them. You know, we do case studies, and we know who we can get. I know if I just walk past this woman and sing, I got her. Or if this is the woman that I have to talk and do some work, I got her. But if I sing, I don't have to have a conversation because after I sing, you're talking to me. I'm just responding to you at this point. I got you.
Right. And we as men, we do tests. I tell the young ladies here, we test you. It's just like if I know y'all, here's a group of women here. I come over, I hug you, Pastor Steph. Hey, how you doing? I hug this next woman, and I put my hand on her behind. And she's like, Al, don't touch me like that. Oh, my bad. You know me. I'm just joking around. But then I hug this girl, and she let me touch her behind, and she starts giggling. So, Al, you crazy. You crazy. I got her. She done. She it's a wrap. I test all of y'all,
that's the booty
and she
call.
Fell for it. The rap.
That's the booty call right there. That's the booty call.
That's it right there.
Wow.
So now I'm going to hug you again. I'm going to hug you again. I'm going to touch something else. To see, I'm going to see how far you're going to let me go.
And listen, men don't care. You can be ugly. You can be buck tooth. You can have nappy hair. It don't matter.
But if you got a nice body, that's all we see.
Listen, what we say, we can't see your face in the dark.
No matter how tall you are, how short you are, you real tall. Oh, right. Same size as we in that bed. If you're short, you're the same size as we in that bed. So we're telling you this is what we think. And we will see. You got some women who love compliments. And I threw the corniest line to see if you fall for it. I said that to a girl one time. She walked by. I was like, how you doing? I said, you're very pretty. She started blushing. I said, okay, let me go to the next line. I said, your feet must be tired. She said, why? I said, because you've been running through my mind all night long. She started getting, oh, you crazy. I said, oh, hell, what time can you meet me in my room?
And then, Al, if you compliment an ugly woman, oh, my God, you got her.
Because
ugly
nobody wants an ugly girl. Nobody wants an ugly girl. They run it after the pretty one.
If you go to the duckling and make her feel like a, if you go to the duckling and make her feel like a swan, oh baby, you can get whatever you want. She go listen. She gonna give you the $14,000. You need money, baby. You need gas money. I got gas money. You hungry?
Yeah.
Ooh. We need 3 hours for y'all. We need to
be there are some consequences. There are some consequences sometimes when we're doing that. You run across some crazy ones, you know. And I have, I have run across some crazy ones when I was in. I remember in college, I used to perform, and I, you know, like I told you, I used to rap back in the days. And they would also take some pictures. I got to show you some pictures, Pastor. And they and one girl was there. She took pictures of me. I said, "Oh, I like that," and she gave it to me. And I went to the store and got a, bought a poster of it. And not knowing this other girl had got a picture of me on stage, and she took a poster, and she got a poster of me hanging up in her room. And I didn't know, because, you know, people was coming to me and saying, "Yo, Al, what's up with Sally? What do you mean what's up with Sally? Man, we go in her room, she got a big, giant poster of you up on her wall." I'm like, "You serious?" And they was like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Okay." Then she comes, she tried to break in my room because I wouldn't answer because she called me like 20 times a day. And I was in the room, and I hear the doorknob jiggling, and I'm quiet. I'm like, "Okay, what's going on?" I open the door. She's trying to break in the door. So you, the consequences, you do run across some crazy ones.
Wow.
Well, Al, let me tell you something, Al, and Pastor Steph knows this person. Back way in my former days, I used to date this woman that lived in Queens, and this is when I was staying with Pastor Steph and in her basement. And I moved from there and stayed in Queens. And this young lady and I was dating. But when I left that side of town, I didn't want to date no more. So this young lady, she changed my address. She got a change of address form. And all my bills, all everything went to somebody else's house. My lights got turned off. Everything got turned off because I never got no bills. So, yeah, I know about the cray-crays.
And those are the consequences. And those are the consequences to all you players. There are
right.
consequences.
Wow.
You take a chance, player.
You do. You playing Russian roulette. I tell you, you know, we got to come back. We got to really make this a full-fledged broadcast, because Brother Al's been after me for a while to talk, just to do a topic on these things and on these subjects. Well, you know what I'm saying? Conversations on these topics. And I tell you, man, y'all left me out there. I was just sitting here shaking my head. I was like, wow, do people really fall for this garbage? But thank you so much, men, for what you have contributed to this conversation. And we're coming back to this. I'm Brother Al, I'm going to, you know, honor your request and come back to this topic in a couple of shapes, forms, and fashions. But thank you so much, both of you, for joining us today. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank God for having me.
You're blessed as well.
Okay, thank you. Wait, what did you say? Thank God what?
For salvation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man, yeah. On both sides.
God is good. God is good.
That's right. On both sides. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Be blessed. Okay.
Amen.
Ooh,
you too.
Baby. I think this is a time we need to join hands and join hearts. Well, actually, you know, we've been kind of down to the last minute each day. But today, I was sure to end it a little earlier so that we can go before the Lord together. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you because you are always ahead of the game. Thank you to Heavenly Father because you have been so gracious to us just to allow us to breathe today. We thank you, God. Lord, as we have been chatting, absorbing life, as we have been just hearing about the things that are offered to us in this world. We want to thank you today, God. You know, the word was thank you for salvation. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we can speak in our former life, that these things are non-existent anymore because we heard your knock. We didn't wake up one day and decide we wanted a better life. We heard your knock on the door, God. And even if it took a while to get rid of some of these things, God, we thank you for just hanging on in there. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for pulling us along when we couldn't go any further on our own. We thank you, God, for picking us up and carrying us when we could not go any further on our own, God. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you have just invested in us over and over and over again. And God, we don't know. We don't know. We have no idea what we will face tomorrow. But we do know, God, that you have the saving power. And as long as we lean on you, that all things are possible. We are nothing alone. But God, we are so grateful that you have proven yourself in our lives. Even before we said yes to your will and yes to your way, you were already doing. You were already ahead of the game. You already knew the plan for our life. You knew the plan. And we thank you, God, for preparing the way so that your plan could be fulfilled. That we were reckless, that we were just not paying attention, that we were gullible, but that you put us on the right path. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. There's not one person who will listen or who is listening now that can't say that we were out there in some way at one point. I don't care how drastic, I don't care how small, but we were out there vulnerable to the enemy. But you saved the day. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your special, perfect love that regardless of our behavior, our disobedience, our own recklessness, the fact that we have openly rejected you, said no, threw caution to the wind, and endangered our lives, you still have been there. And we're so glad that you're not like man. Because man would have left a long time ago. But we thank you. We thank you for your patience. We thank you, God, for just wrapping your arms around us and not letting go. How many times have we let go, but you have never turned us loose? That even if we were out here making our own decisions, you still had your finger on the pulse of our life. And we say thank you. All week long, God, we've been hearing of the mentally ill. We thank you, God, that we are still in our right frame of mind. Do we have it all together at all times? No. But at the end of the day, we are still in our right frame of mind. We still wake up to give you the glory out of our life and to make sure that we don't step too far away from you, God. All week we've been talking about accidents and death, and we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we were not on that side of the equation. The father who killed the children, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for covering our homes and covering our lives, and regardless of what was going on in our life as a child, we are still here. The stories of the parents who have endured children until senior citizenhood, we thank you, God, for strength. We thank you, God, for strength to let go, because we understand that it takes you. It takes you to help us to make those hard decisions, God, decisions that we could not make on our own, God, the decisions that we don't want to make, But you have blessed us, God, just by hanging on in there with us. Thank you, Father. All week we've been hearing of swindling and a manipulation of the mind. Thank you, Father, for rescuing us, that we're more aware of things than we used to be. Thank you. Thank you for us not being as gullible as we could have been, and thus saving us from a whole lot of things that could have gone wrong. Thank you, Father. All week, we've been talking about red flags in one way or another. And we thank you, God, that you raised those red flags for us. But even more so, God, we thank you because we've leaned on you to help us make that decision again. That red flag was a red flag, and we stopped. We didn't stop on our own. We stopped because you gave us the strength to do so. Thank you, God. All the things that were just said, even in today's conversation, God, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for rescuing us. If we were that gullible to believe some of these lies, you know, the gentleman talked about, you know, they met with the crazies. Well, the diversion of mail and whatever Brother Al has experienced, God, they're still here to tell the story. How many men met with that crazy one and they're not here any longer because it cost them their life? Even if they chase it, they both have said, be careful of what you go after. Do you feel you throwing your line on? Oh, you throw that bait out there, you get a little more than you banking. And we thank you, God, for standing in the gap. We thank you for sending your son for such a time as that they could be on this side of the fence, telling your story, telling the story of how you brought them out. And there's no family member talking about them in the past, or a friend talking about them in the past. We thank you, Father, for your redeeming power. We thank you, God, for your forgiving nature. We thank you, God, for you just continuously feeding us and, again, holding on to us and never letting go. We give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. Precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I was speechless at one point, you know, because I in my head, I thought about, you know, I may not have fallen for those lines, but what have I fallen for that God didn't allow me to succumb to in many ways? And I think that was part of why I was speechless, because I'm listening. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we always talk about, at least that wasn't us, or at least I didn't do this, or at least I didn't do that. And, you know, we don't think about how God has rescued us, you know, from the other things that we did do, the other things that we had, you know, and we have fallen prey to. How great is our God that we would be able to tell the story from this side of the fence? I know for one, I'm grateful. I know for one, I'm grateful that despite the fact I didn't fall for those lines, I did fall for some other stuff in my life that I shouldn't have been involved in, that had I used my head, you know, I would have made different decisions. But God was there because he knew that he had a plan for my life. And he was there regardless of my beginnings, regardless of the journey. There was a plan for my life. You know, I always talk about, you know, the fact that I had Shantice at a young age. And You know, of course, when we think about it, I'm like, boy, that was dumb. Because I realized how many areas are blocked. But I have to tell you, what a gift. What a gift. She tells her own stories of what she put herself through. And I didn't know some of that stuff. But that was one decision that was made that turned out to be a gift. And to share my time with her each morning, to share my life with her. You know, I'm 55 years old. And since I was 18, this girl grew up with me. Because your growing up takes place in your adulthood. Your real growing up takes place in your adulthood. And I shared my adulthood with her. She went through the journey that I went through. I didn't go through that journey alone. I had a partner. What a gift. And I give God thanks that decision turned out to be such a gift. But not every decision is a gift. And you think about how many times God has rescued you. And you can't thank God enough. Can't thank God enough. Can't thank God enough. Can't stop thanking God. You can't keep it to yourself. You got to share it. You know that God deserves every bit of that glory. You know, let's go back and just thank God for every time he rescued us. For every time we didn't fall for the okey-doke. For every time we did fall for the okey-doke and we landed in that pit, but God pulled us up out the pit. You know, Joseph was thrown in the pit. But look at the journey and where he ended up. And he had falls even after the pit. You know, not that he did anything, but just life. But God had a plan. So think about that in your own life. You know, what I've done to myself. You know, the men talked about, you know, them throwing out these lines and these women willingly took the bait. So, you know, there's going to be things that we pull in that we going to wish we had thrown back. But by the grace of God, he said yes. And I got a bigger plan for you. And he showed that he had a bigger plan. So, you know, let's celebrate today as we go out for this week and think about the fact that all week we could have been talking about it was us. That was me. But God said so. And we have a wonderful life in him right now. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my gentlemen for, boy, oh boy, oh boy, schooling us today. Thank you for hanging out with us all week and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now. Or please don't miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship with God. Later is not promised to any of us. Until Monday, we can't have any Sunday prayer because I will be in another engagement. But Monday, God spares our life. We'll be shaking the Monday morning blues once again. Until then, I love you.